Awesome, guys. Morning. How are you guys doing? Yeah, ne, lekker, lekker. I told the first, in the first service, I told the guys, on Friday night, I got like the sense of the like exams sort of hovering above everybody, and everybody sort of a little bit, you know, not looking forward to the week of studying and stuff. So, anyway, let's just quickly do a couple of announcements. Are we going to do it? Cool. I hope you guys have all seen the Facebook page, and I hope you guys have all liked it. Please go there, check it out. If your face is not on that wall, go to Mark. He'll take a quick picture and get it up there. It's just so everybody knows who everybody is. On Friday, on Friday night, this whole My Life series, and we looked at my health. So we had like Zumba and what's that other CrossFit stuff? Yeah, which was awesome. We also had some spiritual fitness exercises where we just took some time to focus on God. It was actually pretty awesome. And then this Friday we're looking at my mind. Don't worry, we're not going to make you like study more stuff, but we're going to look at my mind, and that's going to be awesome. So you guys better come. Cool. And then we are busy with this trilogy series, right? We're talking about God's word, His presence, and His power. And it's because that's part of our vision statement at His people. So I've got some goodies here at the front. Kit Kat, chunky, 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 chunky. If somebody can recite the vision statement for me, give it a bash for Kit Kat. Come on. I know you want it. I know you want it. Yeah. That is a chocolate right there for you. Awesome. Anybody else want to give it a bash? She's broken the ice now, so go, Micah. Oh, yeah. Well done. Okay, we're giving away chocolates. There's still three left. Anybody else? Come on. I forgot to do this in the first service, so there's like way, like you guys can just have a lot of chocolate. That's why we still have three left. Anybody else? Okay. Anybody else? Yes. Fantastic. Well done. Let's give it a round. There's still two left. Yeah, okay. There we go. Fantastic, man. Well done. Well done, guys. Yeah, so that's the vision, hey? And that's really what we believe at HP, is that we're going to see lives around us and our lives and communities and our society transformed. I mean, I think you guys can all say that we need stuff to change in our country. We need stuff to change in our schools. And how we believe that's going to change is through discipling people in the word, the presence, and the power of God. Cool. So we've been chatting about those three elements, the word, the presence, and the power. And the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at God's presence specifically. 2 weeks ago, Mark spoke about how God, you know, revealed himself in the Bible, and how he reveals himself in the Bible, and how the whole Bible is basically just infused with God's presence. Almost every page you turn on, there's some reference to who God is, or his presence, or how he relates to people. And it was throughout the Old Testament, and as well as in the New Testament, where we see Jesus actually becoming human, and also through the Holy Spirit that God gave to us, we experience his presence. And then last week we looked at reminders. What are things that we can use to remind ourselves that God is near? That we can remind ourselves of his presence. Somebody in the week told me about like how Jewish people, when they walk through a door, they like touch the door because they write scriptures and things on the door to remind themselves that God is there. We'll see we can use our senses, right? As reminders, as things that remind us that God is there. We sometimes see something beautiful, or somebody spoke about that really was cool to me, is like they smell the rain. When they smell, get that smell, they just remember God is good, God is there, God is here with them. So this week we're going to talk about how do we experience God's presence in worship, right? So sort of extending that whole presence thing. And I don't know about you guys, but maybe you've come to like a Sunday service and a Sunday morning, and like you sometimes don't get like what's going on. You know, you see people jumping around and waving flags and shouting, getting excited, but you sort of don't really get what's going on. Or maybe you sort of think you know what it's about, but you actually haven't felt it or experienced it before. It's just like, it's a bit sort of weird to you, a bit dead to you. Or maybe you have actually experienced God before, like in a Sunday morning worship service, but like sometimes when you come like to church on Sunday or you try to connect with God, you just struggle. It's like you're just not getting through to Him. You just don't experience His presence as often as you'd like to. Like if you fall into any of those categories, then I think you're in a good place, because I want to like break down that sentence a little and really firstly look at what is worship, what does that mean to us. Secondly, we want to talk about like experiencing God's presence and what does God's manifest presence actually mean. And then thirdly, we're going to look at what are some practical things that we can actually do to help us connect with God and to help us experience Him with us. Cool, you guys ready for that? Okay, so first we're going to look at what is worship. So I want you to turn to the person or the people next to you and just share with them, what do you think worship is? What does worship mean in your mind to you? Okay, go for it. Okay, cool. Who wants to share? Who wants to share some ideas that they had or that somebody around them had? What do you guys think? What does worship mean to you? Anything? What did you guys say? Wow, that's awesome. He says worship is when you love God and when you show Him how much you love Him. Yeah, that's awesome. Wow. How cool is that? She says, by like exercising our gifts or our talents, like somebody in first time said, like doing sport, even everything we do can be worship to God. Yeah, definitely. Yes. Okay. So bringing praise to someone, telling them how good they are. Yeah. Yes. It's also about thanking God, being thankful, expressing that to Him. Fantastic. What else? Yeah, praise the Lord, singing and dancing. Awesome. So that's definitely ways in which we can worship God. Awesome. So Mark, during his studies, he did like this whole study on worship and what it is. And he came up with this pretty cool like definition for worship. And we're going to unpack that a little. So what it says is that worship is becoming aware of God's presence, firstly, and then responding to God's presence with verbal or active expressions of love and devotion. So firstly, like we become aware that God is here, right? That's like sort of the first trigger to it. Now to become we become aware of God's presence, right? That's that. I just want to say those reminders that I just spoke about and we spoke about last week. Maybe it's just small things like you just realize that you can be thankful for something, like we said just now in the offering message, or there's something beautiful that you see and you become aware that God is with you. And then secondly, we respond to that. So what's the opposite of responding to something? You don't respond to something, what do? You ignore it, eh? You're ignoring it. So imagine you become aware of God's presence. He's here, right? Imagine He's standing here. I'm just like, my phone. So sort of turning away, ignoring. I mean, that's the saddest thing. Imagine like the creator of the universe is here with you and you're ignoring Him. It's actually quite sad for me. Somebody explained this response thing to me once. They said, I don't know if you guys have ever like driven somewhere in the mountains or like in the Cape somewhere. Like as you come around the bend, there's just this beautiful picture that opens up in front of you. Like just valley, or I remember coming down Solaris Pass there by Cape Town. And as you come around the bend, you just see the whole like False Bay. And it's so beautiful. Like what's your first response if you see something like that? Exactly, you're like, wow, how amazing this is. And the second thing, you like grab the person next to you, it's like, whoa, check how amazing this is. And that's what worship is. Like when we become aware of God's presence, a lot of the times it's that response that we have. Like, wow, God, how incredible you are, how amazing you are. You're fantastic. You blow my mind. And that just helped me to think on what that response should often look like. So that's the first part, becoming aware of God's presence and then responding to it, secondly. And then thirdly, is to do something about it and express love and devotion to God. Right? So how do you guys think we can express love and devotion to God? What do you guys think? Help me. Give me some ideas. Ooh. Nice. Yeah. Loving other people. Being generous. Yeah. Definitely. Wow. Say, God, thank you for what you've given me. Cool. What else? What do you guys think? Yeah. Shouting. Yeah. Why do you shout? Because you want to declare something. Man, you want to, you're excited. It links to jumping. Huh? You want to declare something. Yeah, we won. Awesome. So there's all different ways we can express love and devotion. So it can be physical things we do, like on a Sunday in service, but like every day throughout our lives, we can also express love and devotion to God, like Mike said, for example, by loving other people, by being generous with God gives us. Cool, so that's the first thing about worship that I wanted to share, that definition. The second thing is a cool thing that Mark made me aware of. There's a Danish philosopher who had a very funny name. His name was Kierkegaard. And he had this picture about worship. He says, often in worship, we think it's like this picture, in like how a play works. We are the people that sit in the audience, right? We are there to be entertained. Like, is the band playing well today? Is the band not playing well today? And if they're good, we clap hands. The leaders here, or the band's up on the stage, and they're performing, right? And God somewhere, can't always see him, but we know he's there somewhere, and it seems like he's speaking to the worship leader and, you know, telling them what to do. You guys thought of that? I definitely know there was a time in my life where, you know, you want to come to church and be entertained, man. You know, the music needs to be good. If it's not good, you let everybody know that it's not that good. You know? But actually what this guy says is that it's the wrong way around, man. It's actually completely the wrong way around. Actually, all of us are the people on stage. That's us during worship. The leader is the prompter. They're just there. The band's just there to help us worship God. And God's actually sitting in the audience. So we're there for his pleasure. That's what worship's about. So it looks like this. We're on stage, right? All of us are there. There's a leader that helps us. And then in the audience is not all that people. There's just an audience of one. So when we come to worship, we should have that picture in mind, that we're not here to be entertained. We're really here to worship God. And maybe the band's there helping us to do that. But really, we want to live our lives and we want to bring our love and our devotion to God alone. And that's really how our worship should be. Cool, so that's the second thing about worship. Moving on to that, to the second point I made at the beginning, is really exploring this thing about God's manifest presence. So that's something I thought about in the week, and I said, like, hang on a second. Like, is there a difference between God's omnipresence and God's, like, manifest presence? Like, kind of, what are you on about? So God's omnipresence means that God is everywhere at all times, right? Do you guys agree with that? I mean, that's something we believe, that God is everywhere at all times. There's a psalm in Psalm 139. It says, David says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I go to the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, or if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. And your right hand will hold me fast. So he's saying God is everywhere, right? And that's really, like, that's a head knowledge that we have, that God is everywhere. But then there's this thing that God's presence becomes manifest. Now, I always struggle with that word manifest. I had sort of a negative connotation to it. So I went and looked it up. And all that, if something manifests, all it means is it becomes visible or noticeable or clear. Right, so it means that God's presence can become noticeable to us, can become visible to us or tangible to us. And that's really what God's manifest presence mean. So instead of us just knowing that God is everywhere, we actually experientially know now that God is with us because we've experienced him. That's cool? You guys understand that? So instead of it being a head knowledge, it actually becomes like a heart knowledge. We just know it. Tobias spoke last week about the watermelon. You guys remember the watermelon thing? She said, how do we know that a watermelon's not blue on the inside before you cut it? And like, as you cut it, it turns pink. You guys remember that? And we're like, but how do you know? For me, this is like the how do I know? Because I've experienced it. You know? People can tell me God doesn't exist, but I know he exists because I've experienced him for myself. That's why this is so powerful for me. And there's, like, we see this throughout the Bible, but maybe just highlighting one thing is in Acts where the Holy Spirit was poured out. I mean, we see that so how real God became. It says in Acts 2 verse 8, like suddenly there was a sound like a blowing of a violent wind that came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So, like physically, they could see like tongues of fire, God coming. And it was like this rushing wind that they could hear. That's how real God became in that moment. So I want to ask you guys, who of you guys have experienced God's presence like in worship? On Sunday, you just know like God is here with me. Any of you guys? Okay. And how have you guys experienced that? Like, what was it like? How did you experience it? Was it a feeling, or did you hear something, or see something, or how did you guys experience it? Yeah. I have to actually say, like, that happens to me so much. Like, God just overwhelms me. It's like my body just can't contain it. I don't know. I just become emotional. Definitely. Yeah. What else? Yeah, come on. Who heard this? Alexa, what did you, how do you experience God? Same thing. Yeah, emotion. Yeah. And you? So she just feels overjoyed and she just starts laughing like spontaneously. She can't help it, you know. There's just something inside of her that sort of wants to come out. I know like how I experience God is it's like a physical thing that I feel. It's like a cold feeling or it feels like goosebumps sometimes that I just know like God is here with me. So those are all ways that we can experience God. So why do we really care about this? I mean, if we talk about God's presence, like, well, what's the big deal about it? Maybe you haven't experienced it and you're like, I don't really care about it. It doesn't sound like a big deal to me. It sounds a bit weird to me, maybe. But I actually want to put to you guys that this is, like, so, so important, guys. Like, we were made to be with God. That's the whole reason God created man, so he can be in relationship with us. If you think of Adam and Eve, God walked with him in the garden. Like, he was there with them all the time. And the incredible thing is that Jesus actually came to earth to actually make that thing right, so we can be in that relationship with God again. So that we can actually, on a daily basis, walk with him and have him close to us and experience him without dying, basically, because that's how it was in the Old Testament. So for me, like in God's presence is really where I feel like I'm coming alive. It's like I'm energized, I'm encouraged, and a whole bunch of other things. For example, when we're in God's presence, we're changed. Like things change in our heart. And some of the reasons, or some of the ways in which it changes, is because he reveals who he is in our lives. If you look at the picture, that's Moses by the burning bush. I mean, he had such a real experience of God's like immediate manifest presence in that bush. And God was revealing to him who he is and who he is in the lives of Israel. He tells Moses, I've seen like how the people's been suffering and I want to save them. That's basically what he tells them, that he's a God who cares, the God who loves them, that he's a God who wants to redeem them and wants to save them and wants to bring them out of oppression. So that's often what happens when we get into God's presence. The second thing there is we start seeing things from his perspective, you know. I love it that piece where God tells him, okay, you now need to go to the Pharaoh and tell him this. And Moses is like, do you want me to go? It's like, yeah, you need to go. But I said, like, I can't even speak properly, you know. And God is just starting to change Moses' perspective. He's telling Moses, I don't see you the way you see yourself. I think you're awesome. I think you have it within you. And maybe, like, you've experienced that in worship. Like, maybe just standing on Sunday, you feel a bit overwhelmed with studies, man. You just don't know how you're going to get through the week. And God changes your perspective and he shows you, you know what? There's life beyond this exam. Maybe it's as simple as that. And he comes and gives you peace. And the third point there is, we are encouraged and strengthened. And often when we start seeing from God's perspective, that happens, eh? We're encouraged and we're strengthened. If we think about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, those guys were so on fire. They were so strengthened. They were boldly stood up and started preaching to everybody that was around them. Peter, who basically denied Jesus previously, he was fearlessly bold in proclaiming that Jesus is alive and that he has risen and that he is Lord. And we often experience God's power. Often in times of worship, it's when we really, really, when God is close, when we feel his power. And we see that sometimes through healings, like physical healings. I've been in services where, like, while we worship, like, the guy stood out of a wheelchair. Or maybe it's emotional healing. You know, God comes and restores something in your heart because he's telling you who you are. Maybe while you're worshiping, you get this, like, this word of knowledge or wisdom, and God tells you, just go and pray that for somebody. And as you pray it for them, they're like, wow, that's exactly what's happening in my life. And God uses you powerfully while we worship. So that's the second thing, God's presence, right, and his manifest presence, and the difference between him just being everywhere and him being real to us, invisible to us, or noticeable to us. So you might be thinking, okay, that sounds cool and everything, but, like, how do you do that? Because I come on a Sunday and I'm just not getting it. I don't know how. Like, what do I do to actually experience God, right? And some practical things that we just want to go through, and there's a handout, like, afterwards that you can take home just to think about that again. But there's some really practical things that we can actually do to try and help us experience God. So the first thing is to prepare. And I remember, like, when I was still coming to church, like, when I was still in school with my parents and coming to church, me and my mom were always late on a Sunday morning, right? I don't know if you guys are maybe late always. So what would happen is my dad would be sitting in the car, like, for 10 minutes waiting for us. And then when you get in the car, you just know there's, like, this vibe in the car already. Okay, you're late. And he's, like, a little bit annoyed with it. And then you get to church and you're a bit, like, ashamed because you're sneaking in the back and you're, like, late because you didn't want to get up out of bed, you know. And that, I mean, that just distracts us from focusing on God. And what I've tried to do lately is, like, before I come on Sunday, just to sort of fix my eyes on God, just to say, good morning, Lord. Thank you for this awesome day. And just acknowledging that God is there. Maybe it's reading Bible, like reading the Bible and just seeing who God is. And say, thank you, Lord, that you're here. Thank you that I can come and meet with you today. So that's the first thing. The second is, like, say you come to church now and you are here in the worship service. The second thing you can do is to focus. And it's really to put your vision on God. You know, there's this cool thing that you see throughout the Psalms where David and the other psalmists, they sort of encourage themselves to come and worship God. I don't know if you've ever read that. They'd say, like, praise the Lord, O my soul. They're talking to themselves. They're telling themselves, come on, praise God. You see it in this one, in Psalm 42 as well, where he says, why, my soul, are you so downcast? I don't know if you guys have... there was a time in my life where I got the Sunday blues every morning. Have you guys ever had that? You come on a Sunday and you're just like, oh, it's Sunday, tomorrow's Monday type of feeling. You just sort of, I don't know why. I think it's because you still have all your homework and stuff that you need to do the day, or just dread the week coming or something. But you just feel downcast, right? And this is what we need to do. We must say, why am I so downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So, like, encourage yourself. And then there's another example in Psalm 104 where it says, praise the Lord, O my soul. So he does that again. And then what he does is he looks and acknowledges who God is. And he starts remembering who God is. He says, Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. And he goes on in that whole psalm and he just explains how great God is, how good God is, how thankful he is for what God has done. And that can really help us to focus, to say, come on, I'm going to take this time now, Lord, and I want to focus on you. And then start acknowledging who he is. Lord, I thank you that you are good. I thank you that you are great. You're clothed with majesty and splendor. Okay, so that's the second thing, to focus. Thirdly is to deal with sin. And this is, I mean, this is real, guys. Like, do you guys know why God hates sin? Have you ever thought about why does God hate sin? What's the big deal with sin? The deal with sin is that sin separates us from God. Because he's holy and we're obviously not then. It separates us. And he hates that. He hates that. Somebody explained it to me once. Sinning is often like building a wall between you and God. It's not like he's gone away. He might be standing like just here on the other side of the wall. But your disobedience and your sin is building this wall. And it feels to you like God is nowhere. He's not hearing you. He's not feeling you. He doesn't care about you. But actually, he's just here on the other side of the wall. And even in my life, you know, sometimes you do stuff that's wrong and you know it's wrong. And you come in on Sunday and you really feel guilty. You're like, and the temptation then is to sort of shut down. You don't even want to sing. You just sort of stand there, you know, because you feel shameful. Our natural instinct is actually to run away. Like, that's what Adam and Eve also did in the Garden of Eden. They, like, went and hid away from God because they knew they did something wrong. But what I found is if you turn back to God in those times, you know, and you turn actually towards him and you say, Lord, I actually realize that what I've done is so wrong. I'm really sorry about it. It's amazing how God breaks that wall down. Like, in an instant, he can do that. And he comes and he embraces you and he says, it's all right. For me, it's that picture of the prodigal son and the father like runs with open arms when his son comes back. That's how God is when we come back to him and we confess our sins. So I want to encourage you. Maybe like you're trying to sing but you don't know what's going on. Maybe ask God, Lord, is there anything in my life that's not right? Is there anything that I've done this week or you know anything in my heart or my attitude that's not pleasing to you? And bring those things before him. You'll be amazed at how close he is once you do that. Fourth thing is to eliminate distractions, right? If you guys were ever distracted in church, there's a million things that can distract you in church. I mean, you're just closing your eyes, and then there's somebody that comes late, and they bump you, and you're like, oh, okay, oh. You know, you're distracted. Or there's like this guy on stage with his weird guitar with a million buttons, and he's ripping it away there, and you're just like, whoa, you know? And you're completely distracted by somebody in the band. Oh, there's a baby crying. Oh, there's somebody waving a flag. And it's like, ooh, there's a flag coming. Whoa, you know. There's a million things that can distract us. Another thing is like your friends, man. You know, I know come Sunday morning, you haven't seen your friend the whole Saturday. You've only seen them like on Friday afternoon the last time. And it's hectic, man. You have to catch up on the whole Saturday, like in 20 minutes during worship. But what I've thought of is, like, I almost want to tell people sometimes in worship, it's like, hey, good morning. It's awesome seeing you again. And you're like, okay, I'm going to take some time to worship God now. Cheers for 20 minutes, you know? Something like that. Just to say, guys, let's respect each other as well. Let's encourage each other to focus on God. Other thing is your phone. Jeez, man, leave your phone at home. Or turn it off. Or turn it on silent. It's such a distraction. You know, the thing about ignoring God, I don't know, it's not cool. So try and eliminate that. If you really want to experience God, put those things away. That's the fourth thing. The fifth is to enter in. And all that really means is to actually try and engage with what's happening. It's like to take the songs, to take whatever the worship leader is saying, to actually turn that into prayers, to apply that to your own life. yeah, just not to like stand there and sing mindlessly, because that's also happened to me. You just sing la 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 la, but you actually don't even think about what you're singing. So, like, engage with what's being said. Have you guys ever wondered what do you need to do when the worship leader starts singing stuff that's not like words that's not in the song or not up on the screen? Like in the first, that beginning for me, it was very weird. It was like, somebody tell the guys at the back they need to put the words on. Like, where's the words? Like, you know, I couldn't understand what's going on. But I realized later, a lot of the times that's when other gods, God actually speaks to us sometimes. All the worship leaders are encouraging. They're sensing something and they're encouraging to express, you know, our love and devotion to God in a certain way, to worship in a certain way. So we need to engage with that. We need to say, what am I hearing? Lord, what do you want to say to me? Yes, Lord, I agree with what's being said. I praise you. You know, so engage with that. Don't disengage. It's very easy to do that, I found. So that's the fifth one. The sixth one is around pictures, using pictures in your mind. Our imagination is so powerful, and God uses it a lot of times. So we're going to do a quick exercise just to try picturing God. I don't know if you guys have ever done that. Have you ever tried picturing who God is? But it's incredible how if you start doing that, or if you struggle to experience him, is to maybe just close your eyes. Let's just close our eyes and just try to think of a picture of who God is and how he looks. So close your eyes quickly. Let's do an exercise. So if I say to you, God is great, what picture do you have in your mind? God is great. God is mighty. He's mighty. What are you seeing? Oh, he's exalted and lifted high. God's exalted and lifted high. We say God is holy. He's holy. Well, how about if God tells you, I love you? What picture do you get? I love you. Awesome. You guys feel that? It's quite cool, hey? That helps us. That can definitely help us to picture who God is, to help us connect with him. One of the things that has helped me, like just pictures of nature, when we go on holiday in December, we often go down to the coast, and I like going to the beach in the morning and like watch the sunrise. And that's always like one of the pictures that sticks in my mind, just how great God is. If you just see this sea of, it almost looks like glass when the sun comes up, it's just this brilliant light and this just the magnificence and the greatness of like the sun, and just imagining how big God is. But yeah, it's this awesome mark. Like maybe trying to picture how would you draw a picture if you had to explain that. Okay, so that's pictures. The last one, the seventh one, is to use actions, to use your whole body. And that's exactly what Simon said earlier, right? If you're excited about something, I mean, you're going to jump up and down. Sometimes you want to shout like with exuberance, or you want to run, or you want to do something. And sometimes we need to encourage ourselves to do these things, and you'll be amazed at the fact that God is there. Have you guys ever wondered why like people put their hands up in church? You ever thought about that? It's like, it's just something we do at church. Why do you guys think people put their hands up in church? Yeah, so they're feeling, touching God. What else? What else do you think? What do you do if the police says, hands up? You surrender. Huh? If you're caught. Oh, sorry, you got me. That's actually what it is as well. Putting hands up is also a sign of surrendering to God. So, Lord, you are king. You're the one who rules. You're the one that's in control. That's what that's a sign of. Okay, we already spoke about dancing and jumping, becoming excited, right? What about waving flags? You guys ever wondered why people are waving flags? Like this morning, they were waving flags. What's up with that? Why do you think people wave flags in church? Okay, maybe. Maybe. Any other ideas? Why do we wave flags? Why do you take a flag to a rugby game? Oh, sorry, you can go first. Yeah, for victory. That's right. Why do you take flags to a rugby game or a soccer game? Huh? To show support, right? And when the tries get scored, whoa, you wave that flag, man. Because you're declaring that you are supporter of that team. You're declaring that your team is the best. Right? And that's what we do when we wave flags in church, actually. We're saying, God is victorious. Sometimes flags have different colors, and different colors also can represent different things. Like, I think the purple means that it's like a sign of royalty. So if you wave a purple flag, you're declaring that God is king. He's the one who rules. Right? So that's what like waving flags about. And sometimes you have to go and do that, eh? I encourage you guys to give that a try. Kneeling. Have you guys ever seen people kneeling in church? Maybe you've tried that. You should try it. It's also to submit yourself and surrender yourself to God, to acknowledge that He is high and above you, that He is King and He is Lord. Okay, so that's that. That's the some seven tips or some seven practical things that can really help us to experience God's presence close to us, His real presence with us. Somebody asked in the first service, and I thought it was a good question. So you asked, like, what if I don't experience God? Does it mean like He doesn't like me or He's not with me? And the plain and simple answer is no. Not. It's not. We're still called to live by faith, right? So although we don't see and experience God like every single second of every day, we still acknowledge that He is there and that He is with you. And the fact that you might be struggling to experience Him or not experiencing Him is not a sign of who you are, okay? I think He wants to love us and He wants to be close to us more than you think and more than you know. Because I want to challenge you guys next week as you come to church or maybe during the week as you do your sports or do whatever you're doing, maybe studying even, to try and apply these things. I'm going to give a handout now at the door. But just to say, Lord, I want to come, you know, this morning and just focus on You. I want to confess anything that's not right between us, Lord. And I want to really, like, enter in. I want to engage with what's going on. Maybe try and do some actions and see how God's near you. Cool.
Try something next week. Hannes is still going to carry on, so stay here. But, and this will only work if you actually come and sit. Do you know where Debbie and I sit and James sits? As you come into the church, it's on your left, that back section. Okay, so not in front of the sound desk, to the left. And we want to try and make these points that Hannes has shared today really come alive. So we're going to have some posters and stuff. Every now and then we'll pop it up and to maybe help us do some of what he shared. Otherwise, I'm afraid that, like, we won't do it. And then we won't get the blessing out of it. So if you can, but you've got to sit on the left-hand side as you walk in, just for that Sunday even, if your parents aren't maybe happy with that. And so towards the back. Who's up for that? And then if you see the jogger, maybe it's going to be a thing like, okay, create a picture now, or maybe clear away any sin or whatever, and we'll see if that works and it can maybe jog our memories. How about that?
I like it. Awesome.
Cool. Thanks, Mark. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to come and honor You today that You are an incredible God, that You are magnificent and glorious, Lord. We want to praise You that You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and for the incredible privilege that we have as human beings to be in relationship with You, to love You, to experience You with us, Lord. Thank You that You are not a God that's far off, that's just an idea, Lord, but You are actually in relationship with us, and You come close to us, Lord. So that we can actually experience You. I want to pray for each one of us, Lord, as we go into this week and as we come together corporately to worship You. Lord, I pray that we will be people that are hungry for Your presence, Lord, people that's hungry and young people that are hungry for Your face, Lord, to get more of You, Lord, to see more of You, to have a desire to be changed by Your greatness and Your glory. I pray that You'll make this real to each one of us, Lord, that we will not only know You in our heads, Lord, but that we will experientially know You in our hearts and in our lives. I pray that You'll be with us, each one of us, in this week, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cool, guys. So next week, we're going to start with the third sort of part of the trilogy, looking at God's power. So I want to encourage you guys to all come. It's going to be powerful. Awesome. I hope you guys have a fantastic Sunday and a great week. Good luck with the exams. Cheers.